Good morning. I'm Kim Blair.
And I'm Eddie Amos, and this is Virginia Technology Today. Virginia Technology Today is a news and public affairs presentation of WFIR to inform the local community on what's happening in terms of technology here in Southwest Virginia.
Eddie, we talk a lot about startups, different programs to support the local community, and how technology is changing our local landscape. Today, we're honored to have the Chief Information Officer and Vice President of Information Technology, Dr. Scott Midkiff from Virginia Tech, on the show. Welcome, Scott.
Kim and Eddie, thanks for having me. It's really an honor to be on the show. Pleased to be here, and thanks for all your work and spreading the word about technology in the region.
Thanks.
Well, we're glad you're here, Scott, and you wear many hats at Virginia Tech, professor, researcher, and of course, CIO. As a senior member of the Virginia Tech staff, what are your primary responsibilities as CIO, and how do you juggle all of these jobs?
You know, to be honest, I really don't juggle them all so much because while I am a professor, I teach occasionally. I still have some research activity. Really, my full-time job is being the university CIO. The teaching and research that I do, I wouldn't call it recreational, but it's certainly sort of extracurricular, right? Sort of what I do on top of my day job, if you will. Being CIO keeps me pretty busy. Virginia Tech, as you know, is a really large, complex organization, and IT at Virginia Tech has a pretty broad portfolio that we have within the division of IT. And of course, we have a lot of folks that do sort of IT kinds of work outside the central division of IT. And we're really there to support the mission of the university, right? Teaching and learning, research and discovery, outreach and engagement, and to sort of assist the other folks around that do the administrative and operational work that makes the university work. So we support teaching and learning with technology, primarily through one of our units, but in a lot of different ways. We have distance learning, online learning, those kinds of things that we support, but also using technology with traditional sort of seat-based classes and hybrid classes. We support our research community through a number of, you know, sort of large-scale storage, but we have a reasonably significant high-performance computing capability, and we have folks to assist others in using that. And of course, we do the things that any sort of large organization has to have to keep itself going. We have a very large network, email and collaboration tools, administrative enterprise systems, identity access management, help desk, IT security, and other kinds of things. We also operate the Virginia Cyber Range. It's really a partnership with universities, community colleges, and increasingly K-12 across the state. It's not a traditional kind of IT function, but we're really honored that we have the responsibility to be able to operate that. You know, almost all of the public universities, community colleges, and the Commonwealth are using it, and over half of public high schools are using the Cyber Range, which is pretty cool. It's just that they're teaching cybersecurity, but they're using the Cyber Range to do that.
And we have one of your coworkers going to join us to actually talk about the Cyber Range, so we're looking forward to that. You know, most folks think about Virginia Tech. You mentioned a lot of the roles and responsibilities, but they think about Virginia Tech as a public university, a research university, and many don't really consider how many high-tech jobs that are probably there to support the university. How many high-tech-related jobs do you have at Virginia Tech? Just round numbers.
Yeah, you're right. We do leverage technology in just about everything we do. Centrally, sort of within the division of IT, we have about 380 full-time employees, and probably about 300 of those are what you would call sort of technology workers at different levels. And there's probably another 250 folks outside the division of IT that are doing IT kinds of things. And of course, we have people in our research institutes and departments and programs and labs that are doing technology jobs, not necessarily information technology.
I was out looking at the Virginia Tech employment site. Some of the positions that are currently posted out there, there's everything from back-end developers to network engineers to front-end developers. I mean, it's across the gamut. What are some of the jobs that are in high demand right now at Virginia Tech and across the region, as you say?
A lot of the jobs that we need, we have difficulty filling, are in those same types of skills that you would find at a lot of our companies in the region as well. Everyone knows that cybersecurity is a challenge. We have continuing growing cyber threats, just like any organization, any business. And so we obviously really need good people in our cybersecurity office. We need developers. We don't develop a lot of sort of big software systems ourselves. We do some development, though. We end up doing a lot of sort of smaller pieces that integrate with various kinds of applications. So good developers, that's something I think just about everybody is looking for. And more of our applications, more of what we do are moving to the cloud. So we really need people that understand how to do development in the cloud, cloud architecture, how do we do security in the cloud. Those folks are really in very high demand right now. Lots of people need them, not just us, but we need them. And of course, we have some positions that are probably more unique to us, like, you know, in high performance computing, computational scientists. That's something that we need at Virginia Tech, probably, you know, a few other folks around in the region need them, but not so many. Instructional design, instructional technology, something kind of unique to higher education, especially some K-12. Everyone sort of runs and operates networks, but we have a really big network. We have, on a given day, probably about 100,000 unique devices are connected to our network between the wireless and the wired, most two-thirds of those on the wireless. We need network administrators, network engineers that know how to sort of operate networks effectively at that scale.
For our audience, when we talk about HPC, high performance computing, think supercomputing, and for years, we were in the top 100 of, you go back and look at various magazines, how are we doing these days in HPC? And
well,
that's an ongoing battle.
It sort of depends, and it is an ongoing battle. And at one point when Virginia Tech rolled out System X, it was in the top five of all the systems.
That.
And really the remarkable thing was, you know, we did it at about a tenth of the cost of the other systems in that top five list. So it was very impressive that we were able to do that. I think we've kind of matured in terms of how we look at high-performance computing and really research computing more broadly since then. Those benchmarks are based on running very specific metrics.
Sure.
A lot of the techniques that we either developed or kind of pioneered and demonstrated, everyone's doing now, so it's kind of hard to kind of beat people so significantly on the price point. So we're not in that top 50, top 100 list anymore, but we have really very significant HPC capabilities. You know, we're not trying to have sort of the most cycles, sort of the fastest throughput of anyone in the world. We are trying to really meet the diverse needs of our research community. It's not just about sort of the traditional computational fluid dynamics and problems like that. You see a lot of demand for machine learning, deep learning kinds of algorithms, and those really require different kinds of systems, different architectures, a lot of GPUs, and we're trying to really couple that with good support. So, you know, our goal, we're not there, but our goal is to really sort of be the best university-based high-performance computing center serving. There's some of the national resources are based at universities. They get a fraction of that, the cycles, and the rest go out to the world or to the U.S. especially. And we leverage those. We have researchers that use those. But our focus is really on supporting Virginia Tech researchers.
Going back to the positions that are open at Virginia Tech and across the university, do you have challenges filling the pipeline of qualified candidates?
Absolutely. That you know, problems is an understatement, right? And that's true for anybody in this business. We talk about Northern Virginia, for example, and Amazon coming in with 25,000 jobs. You know, there are 25,000 jobs waiting to be filled up there in various parts of the region. One of the things that I describe about this is we look at enterprise risk, and a lot of people would say, oh, IT, your enterprise risk is cyber threats, right? That's what you worry about the most. And yeah, we worry about that. That is a risk. But our number one risk that we've identified is actually workforce. How do we recruit the right people? How do we retain them? How do we make sure that the people we have already sort of have the technical and professional development to sort of grow in their jobs and grow with the changing technology? We have some areas with 15 to 20% vacancies right now, and it really affects how we can serve the university. As a public university with a strong commitment to affordability, we worry and, you know, we're really constrained in terms of what we can pay, right? So we recognize that we can do better, but we recognize we're never going to compete with the private sector when it comes to salary. We can do better, close the gap some. But we really do offer, I think, a different kind of work environment than other employers in the region and higher ed, different kind of work environment. So it's a great place to come and earn a degree while you work. Lots of people have sort of support for tuition, but you just kind of go across campus and you're there. We're very flexible about hours and so forth. I think we really care about work-life balance. It's not just something we talk about. It's real. We're concerned about it. You know, we have a mission, and a lot of our employees really sort of understand our mission. You know, that's why they're at Virginia Tech, and they want to be part of that mission.
Well, I'm proud to serve that mission. You talk about pursuing your degree if you're in this position. So it may sound like, do all the high-tech jobs on our campus, do they require a four-year degree?
Not all of them do. We have a pretty wide aperture, if you will, for different levels of formal education and degrees, different experience levels. We certainly have employees, and there are certainly opportunities for people that have maybe an associate degree or even just the right kind of certifications, they can be very competitive for certain kinds of jobs and networking, systems operations, security operations. At the other end, we have some jobs like our computational scientist where, you know, most of our team have PhDs and they're, you know, they're working as part of really research teams and they need that kind of research experience. It's really a wide gamut. Absolutely not everybody needs a PhD and not everybody even needs a bachelor's degree.
So I was reviewing your profile in your research areas and I love the fact that you focus on things like networking, mobile, cloud, ubiquitous computing, cybersecurity. And you sit back and look at your smartphone. I mean, how many pieces of different technologies in there? And if you think about the divergence or convergence of technology, you can do many things with this. And people see this and they hear about what we're doing with Amazon up in Northern Virginia. But what about some of the other areas like networking, ubiquitous computing? What are the opportunities for individuals who may be interested in those areas?
You know, networking sort of has the reputation right now of being a mature field, you know, something without a lot of opportunities. And I think if you look at just kind of traditional network administration, that may be true. But networks are really changing, right? One of those areas is wireless. A lot more of our data in the world, including at Virginia Tech, is being carried over wireless. You know, a lot of advances in Wi-Fi and people that can really sort of manage that scale. We're seeing changes with how we do spectrum sharing, 5G systems, beyond 5G system. Those are all things that are really bringing opportunities to what we can broadly call networking. We also really have to think about security. So that kind of, you know, folks that understand how to run a network and understand how to make it secure, they're precious. And so there's certainly opportunities there. And back to research computing, we have certain kinds of applications that really need, you know, lots of data to be transferred with relatively low latency. And so how do you manage that? You bring up ubiquitous computing, and yes, I know, I think it's probably on my website. I probably need to update that. Not that I'm not working or interested in that area, but ubiquitous computing, or sometimes pervasive computing, refers to these systems that we don't even know they're computers, right? They're just things that we interact with. And more, those are all being subsumed under the Internet of Things, IoT heading. So I'll probably need to do an update on my website to put IoT on
there. Yeah, that's more hip these days anyway.
Yeah, so. IoT is more hip, and people sort of know what that is. You know, and we have, in all of our daily lives, we have, you know, speak to personal assistants and smart thermostats that keep us warm. Yeah. And increasingly, we're going to see, you know, cars and talking to each other, talking to the road to keep us safe. There are really lots of opportunities with how do you move information quickly, privacy, security, right. User interfaces, great opportunities in that area.